Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's a September 12th, 2010, and it's the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And today on the Travel Guys,
Congresswoman Doris Matsui joins us to tell you why it's now safer to travel on a cruise ship, and we talk to the lady who inspired the cause.
Yes, folks, we've been waiting for them. Now stand-up airline seats are coming.
And why you should hang up and call back when you don't get what you need when you're making travel reservations.
All that and more today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road. Hit the
road, Jack. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chicks. I want a Route 66. Let it roll.
Welcome, everyone, to the Travel Guys. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Tuned in. I know it's going to be tough for some of you because you're going to have to watch your football, Sunday football, with the sound down while you listen to the Travel Guys. I mean, that's what I would do. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you. I understand that you're kind of like in the middle, or yesterday was kind of a wrapping up a rather very, very busy few weeks getting ready for the Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day.
We had a very successful event at the Marriott Hotel yesterday with over 600 people attending three programs, and rolled out our new catalog called It's All About the Journey, and you can go to sportsleisure.com and learn all about it. But we had a wonderful day yesterday at the Marriott Hotel, and a special thanks should go to the staff at the Marriott. That we work with them every year. They are really top-notch. The banquet staff out there and the floor staff, the AV staff, are really professional and really do a wonderful job. So.
Well, and hopefully along the way, some of those people that came to your event yesterday are now listening to this program, perhaps for the first time, and would like to welcome them.
It's entirely possible. At the event, we showed a behind-the-scenes tour of the Travel Guys Radio that we've taped here a couple of weeks ago during the show, and so folks got to see the studio and the Kitty O'Neill spot where I am currently standing as we speak. So it was a wonderful day.
All right, well, let's move forward. Got lots to do today. Let's jump right into the travel news. Ta-dun, 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 ta-dun. Mark Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen, with the latest in the world of travel.
As Tom mentioned, stand-up airline seats are coming, like it or not. An Italian manufacturer of airline seats has designed and patented a stand-up seat, and several carriers around the world have expressed an interest. The seat is called the Skyrider, and the company suggests airlines could put in a Skyrider section to fill the aircraft to maximum capacity. Avion Terriers said passengers would assume a dynamic upright position.
I know that position. I think Harris knows that position. So.
In the sky? Dynamic upright position.
They used to have another name for that.
Yeah, I think it's called the Mile High Club, but maybe that's a different dynamic. I don't think that was an upright position necessarily.
You never know.
Seats could be configured to a pitch of 23. This is the travel news you cannot get anywhere else. Seats would be configured with a pitch of 23 inches. Now, hang on to that piece of information for a moment. 23 inches.
Got it.
There's a space under the seat for a foldable shelf that provides support for baggage without hindering foot space. I'm having a hard time visualizing that, but to give you some idea, the current pitch, remember we said 23 inches on the stand-up, that's the number of inches from the front of one seat to the front of the next seat on an airline. That's a very standard measurement, is about 31 to 34 inches. So cut it down to 23, and you're going to be real friendly with the people in front, in back, beside.
I'm trying to get a visual here. Are people going to be in sort of a sloped, standing, kind of semi-upright position, like in some sort of futuristic movie, instead of being sitting down? Everybody's going to look like they're on a reclining board.
I tell you what we'll do. We'll put our web genius, Ryan Quinn, on this topic, and we will get a picture of that seat, and we will get it posted on our internet. I'll
Great.
Bet you
okay.
On travelguysradio.com.
I got to see this.
That's excellent. I haven't seen one either, so we'll find one. We will find one, I promise you.
My father-in-law is a stander. Wherever we go, he always likes to stand, so this will be
perfect. Well, he'll love this. Harrah's Las Vegas Resorts, once you've flown to Las Vegas, Harrah's Las Vegas Resorts are offering guests unlimited access to 7 resort buffet restaurants with the Buffet of Buffets Pass. Straight to the heart attack. Guests are invited to indulge in this one-of-a-kind dining offer available for a limited time. The Buffet of Buffets deal is $39.99. You can save up to $100. It covers brunch through the next day breakfast or dinner through the following night's dinner.
And a complimentary defibrillator.
Absolutely. But that's a pretty good deal. I mean,
yes.
Brunch, the dinner buffets now in Vegas, remember the old days where, you know, it was $2.99 to get you in the door? Those days are long gone.
Yes.
And so $40 and you can eat for an entire day at Harrah's.
Some value there.
Maybe gamble in between. Top 10 U.S. destinations, according to thetouroperator.com. These are from international inbound passengers and people that are coming to visit the U.S. Three California destinations make the top 10. Los Angeles is at 10, San Diego, followed by Boston, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Chicago, San Francisco is fifth, Honolulu, Orlando, Las Vegas, and, of course, New York City.
New York City,
the Big Apple,
one.
Almost always on the top. Here's an interesting item from Germany. A Berlin tour guide is offering a tour of the commodes in Berlin.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Tour guide Anna Haas wanted to take visitors to Berlin off the beaten track and came up with a novel idea of showing them some of the German capital's most famous toilets. She takes groups around the city's lavatories, telling them about the history of the toilet's development from biblical times to the present day and showing them toilets ranging from the oldest and most primitive to the newest and most technical. The tour ends...
Hey, see that place, that tree over there? That's the oldest.
The tour, this gets better. The tour ends at a restaurant called The Lou, where tourists are shown a Japanese automatic toilet which costs as much as a small car.
Wow. Okay.
We were talking before we went on the air with Chris Galloway, one of our road reporters from the Travel Guys.
He described the luxury.
Chris was over in Japan earlier this year, and he was talking about, when we talked about a Japanese toilet that costs as much as a car, he was telling us all the things it could do, some of which we can't share.
And lots of features.
With you, lots of features.
Check travelguysradio.com for details.
Speaking of people who said take this job and shove it, Stephen Slater, the airline attendant that received national exposure for the way he quit his job last month, apparently no longer works for JetBlue. The spokesman did not say how Slater and the company parted ways. Slater became a hero to some after an August incident when he grabbed some beer and deployed an inflatable emergency chute from a plane at JFK Airport in New York after a run-in with a difficult passenger.
I thought that's how he parted ways.
It seemed to me like he was – I got the definite impression that he was quitting his job when he grabbed the beer and deployed the emergency chute, but perhaps there was some formality. And finally, in the news today, Senator Jim Webb of Virginia has introduced some legislation that will help consumers involving airlines. The legislation would potentially end unfair or deceptive practices by airlines by requiring them to provide clear pricing information to consumers. It would also establish rules to assist consumers in comparing airfares and costs such as fees for checked bags. It would also increase the transparency of hidden fees on airline tickets, eliminate a tax loophole that allows airlines to charge carry-on and checked baggage fees and have the revenue not be taxed, and authorizes the Department of Transportation's Aviation Consumer Protection Division to oversee lost and stolen baggage claims. Since airlines are constantly bragging to Wall Street about how much money they are pilfering from the pockets of travelers, you can expect them to fight any regulation tooth. Did you know that, Tom? They don't have to pay taxes on that money they collect from you to put your bag on the airplane.
I had no idea.
Yeah, well, that's and we're talking about literally tens of millions of dollars in taxes, and the airline lobby is quite strong. This will be an interesting one. And speaking of strong lobbies in Washington, D.C., coming up after the break, we are going to be speaking with Congresswoman Doris Matsui, who did a tremendous thing for the travelers of the planet, particularly those who like to get on cruise ships, large and small, because she has authored some really wonderful legislation that is going to make it a lot safer to travel the high seas.
I've heard this interview, folks, and you know, it's great on several levels. Number one, if you're someone who has cruised or planned to cruise, or if you're just someone who wants to see how the system can work in your favor, and things can get done in Congress if the right people are doing the right things.
If you stay with us for the next 30 minutes, you are going to find out how one person can literally make a difference. We're going to talk with Congresswoman Matsui, and then we're going to talk with the lady, Lori Dishman, who inspired the legislation that she wrote right here on the Travel Guys. You're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK.
I want to tell you a story about the house.
Thanks for tuning in. This is the Travel Guys. Appreciate you being there. I'm Tom Romano, and here is Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation. Got a special guest on the program I'm going to tell you about right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get to that, you know, we were talking about those upright airline seats, and I was kind of kidding. I said we'd get our webmaster, Ryan Quinn, on it right away. And he has already located a picture and is currently in the process of posting it to our website, travelguysradio.com. Give him a few more minutes, and we'll have a picture of the stand-up airline seat there for you. All right. Earlier this week, I had the privilege and the honor of going to the Federal Building in downtown Sacramento, which is named after the late Congressman Robert Matsui, to have an opportunity to sit down with his wife, Doris, and talk to her about some legislation that she recently not only authored in Congress, but was signed into law by President Obama. I asked the Congresswoman how she got involved in this particular issue.
Well, the reason why I got involved in this is because a constituent came to me, Lori Dishman, who is just a wonderful person, who had an unfortunate incident on a cruise ship. She and a friend went on a cruise. I think they're celebrating her birthday. And unfortunately, she was sexually assaulted on the ship. And that was bad enough as it was. But when she tried to get some medical help, in essence, they didn't help her at all. You know, you use the circumstances that you try to collect the evidence. Nothing was done at all. And it was a horrible situation. And when she got back to port, she went to the FBI. And they needed the evidence of, you know, the medical evidence. The ship had kept it. And so it was quite unfortunate for her because she had to try to get the evidence. And so she came to me, and she was such a brave individual doing that too. And she said she didn't want what happened to her to happen to anybody else. So she wanted to find out what could happen here, what can be done.
Now you must, this is not the first time that a constituent has come to you with a problem. What made this one a little bit different than some of the others?
I think it was Lori and the fact that when you think about cruise lines, and, you know, she brought to mind the fact that many people go on cruise lines expecting them to be safe. I myself have seen commercials on television, and you have happy faces. And
all looks pretty glamorous.
Looks great. And you bring your children along, and it looks like they'll be taken care of by competent babysitters and entertained. And with Lori's experience, I started checking around and realized that many of these ships are not flagged in the United States. In essence, there are hardly any rules here at all. And yet you have 2,000 to 3,000 people on a ship. That's the size of a small town. If you live in a small town like that, you still have doctors. You have usually a community hospital, maybe, or something similar to that. You have a fire department. You have a police department. None of that exists on a ship, except people believe that they're safe on the ship.
We're talking with Congresswoman Doris Matsui today about recent legislation that she authored that improves security on cruise ships. Doris, can you tell us specifically a little bit about what the bill will require cruise ships to do that they didn't previously have to do?
Well, the interesting thing is that if you compare a cruise ship, you know, cruise a stateroom to a hotel, you normally expect peepholes in the door. I mean, that's just a normal circumstance.
Pretty standard thing,
right,
in a hotel room.
They didn't have a peephole. And I remember talking to the cruise line officials saying, you know, a peephole to me seems to be very simple. You just drill a drill and make a hole there. And they cited some standards about doors and things like that. And then I realized that this is going to be difficult. Even a peephole is going to be difficult.
You
did
perhaps discovered what those of us in the industry on the supply side have known for many years, and that cruise lines kind of have it their own way on the high seas. They do pretty much whatever they want, and you were the first person to come along in a while to really kind of challenge that standard.
Well, it was really very interesting because if you think about it, I mean, they didn't do background checks on the personnel. So she opened the door to somebody she thought was a security person. This person was a security person sometimes, but mostly was a janitor. There are no background checks done on him. If they'd done background checks, they probably would have figured out that he had been at many shifts. We found that out in the investigation. And, you know, there are other circumstances for other unfortunate people who've been on ships, in fact, that they've fallen overboard. The railings aren't tall enough, things like that. So we needed to improve upon that also.
So this legislation is going to involve not only security on board the ship, but also some minimal, bringing some minimal safety standards up.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have some security measures, some safety standards, security measures also including the peepholes, and also a better lock, hopefully some closed circuit television. And also the fact is that when you have an emergency as Lori did, you know, there's a certain protocol you follow when you've had an assault. And none of that was followed at all. She had to collect her own evidence, which is most unfortunate. So now we have a standard. You must have a medical person qualified on board with the understanding about how to collect the evidence and how to preserve the evidence. Many of these things were also not reported, too. The bill also calls on reporting, too. There must be a log. It must be very, very specific. And it must be reported to the Coast Guard and the FBI if anything happens. And many times this didn't happen at all before. But now the information is all there. And it's very important because it's also on a website, too, so that when people want to travel, they can go on a website to see how many incidents have happened on the cruise lines, and it's specific by cruise lines.
Wow. I know one of the cruise lines were not perhaps all that thrilled about this information coming to light. I can see where that would perhaps rub on them just a tad. Doris, this has been a very divided political year, and one cannot help but note that your piece of legislation passed the House of Representatives with but 4 negative votes. So I am compelled to ask you, how did that occur, that there was bipartisan? There's been very few things for which there has been bipartisan support this year. How did that happen?
Well, I think it happened because with Lori came to me as a constituent. And there was International Cruise Victims Association that she found out about and found out that there are many people with her circumstance who really had nothing, they just couldn't have any action taken against the cruise lines. And so it was actually a personal contact by each member who've had this problem with their member of Congress. And it was a broad coalition that involved both Democrats and Republicans. In fact, the person that I work closely with is an individual from Texas, a very conservative Republican, Ted Poe. But, you know, it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, public safety is really very important, and that came across loud and clear.
Our guest on the Travel Guys today is Congresswoman Doris Matsui of Sacramento, and Doris was the author of some very important cruise legislation that's going to make it a lot safer on cruise ships now than it was before. Doris, I have to ask you, have you been on a cruise ship yourself?
I have to say no, I haven't.
Would this make you a little bit more secure, perhaps make you feel a little bit better about, I mean, your constituents are getting on cruise ships every day, so and my clients are getting on cruise ships. This situation will be better now?
I feel it will be better, and that was the goal of this legislation. But I believe all of us should always be on alert. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, we're very careful in our own house. We're always careful in our hotel rooms. I think we should always be careful, but now there's certain standards here. And I think there are certain expectations that have to be met now.
And this perhaps, in closing, is, you know, they say one person can't fight City Hall, but perhaps in this case they prove that one person can join with City Hall and fight someone like a cruise lines. One person can make a difference, and in this case, Lori Dishman was able to make a difference.
Absolutely, and Lori's a hero in this. She kept at it and kept at it. And I know our conversations with each other, and I said, Lori, are you sure you want to do this? Because it's going to be very difficult. You know, we're against a big, big industry. And she said, yes, I want to do this. And it was really amazing because she would come back to Washington very frequently and bring others with her, or meet up with others, and they would go ahead and lobby members of Congress and really tell their story. And
so this really
one
was
by
a grassroots
one,
effort.
It was a grassroots effort, both on the House and the Senate side. So it was very successful in that sense that this is people action. And without the Lori Dishmans of the world, this would not have happened.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for the dignity and integrity with which you represent the people of Sacramento.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Congresswoman Doris Matsui. When we come back after the break, you will have an opportunity to hear from Lori Dishman, the lady who inspired the Congresswoman to go after the cruise lines. And if you are on my side of the industry, you know that that is no easy task. Jim Naylor coming up with the news right after this break, and we'll be back with Lori Dishman on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, and the supreme host, Mark Hoffman of Sports Leisure Vacations.
Did I get a promotion, or?
I don't know. I just, you know.
You've been around this radio station
so much,
before they built this building. I think you came with the building, actually.
But you are so important in my eyes.
I see. All right, we have more important things than kidding each other right now.
Okay,
we're kind of
in the
middle of something serious here. You just heard from Congresswoman Doris Matsui. Doris is a really wonderful lady. I will, if we have time towards the end of the program, I would love to talk a little bit about. I have a Robert Matsui story I would love to share. But right now we have on the line with us Lori Dishman. Lori is, if you heard the previous interview, is the lady who was on the cruise ship, who was sexually assaulted, and whose experience led Congresswoman Matsui to go after the cruise lines and try to improve things on board. Good afternoon, Lori.
Hi. Hi, Mark.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Lori.
Thank you for joining us. Lori, without going into details of everything that happened to you on board the ship, obviously it was really terrible. We heard the Congresswoman talking about how you had to collect your own evidence and things.
Mm-hmm.
But after the assault, you got back home. And what led you to getting Congresswoman Matsui to be your flag bearer for this battle?
Well, what led me to contact Congresswoman Matsui was learning about international cruise victims and what had already begun in Washington. But more so is when the FBI and Department of Justice told me there was nothing they could do, and I knew what had happened, that clearly, there I needed to go to the person that could help, do something about it.
So did you enlist legal counsel? Did you, one person against the world kind of thing. I mean, you come back home, these cruise lines are far away, and they're big people, and they're flagged in foreign countries, and there's a lot of layers there to be able to get through.
Yeah, and I did have a legal representation. You do have to go to Florida anytime anything happens on a cruise ship, from theft to sexual assault to missing persons. It's stated in the back of their ticket. But also, contacting Congresswoman Matsui, she actually was the one who was able to get more information than even a legal representative out of Florida.
Wow. And so the battle began, and how long did this process take from the time you contacted the Congresswoman until you were sitting in the Oval Office with the president?
I contacted the Congresswoman April 24th, 2006. I was in the Oval Office July 27th, 2010.
So over 4 years this took from start to finish. So there must have been some real trials and tribulations along the way. You must have made numerous trips to Washington, D.C., Florida. The Congresswoman was telling me a little bit about that. How did you – I mean, that's a long fight, Lori.
Yeah, thank goodness, because my dad went with me. I had a traveling companion. I went 21 times. My 21st trip was when I was in the Oval Office. And I actually began my trip to Washington February 2007. Congresswoman and I did some work here in Sacramento before I began my travel. And at that time, I knew no one. And now I feel I know almost every Congress member and every Senate member. And, there was some hard times. The pushback from an industry that's, so many people are going to cruise this year, and they're a $1 billion industry. It was tough.
Lori, was there ever a time when you just felt like giving up?
I will tell you that there was a moment where I felt it was probably about a year ago, where I had to make a decision to move on from my civil action and just push it out of the way, because the cruise industry, I will tell you, the worst thing for any victim that's been victimized is that they re-victimize you. And this industry pushed back to this grassroots organization with $11 million trying to make this not happen. And so I had to make a decision that, you know what, this needs 100% of my attention. I cannot let them re-victimize me through my civil legal case, so I'm going to push that out of the way, and we're going to move forward.
And so you and the Congresswoman begin sifting through, and the Congresswoman relates that you personally went back to Washington, D.C. and lobbied some of the Congress people yourself.
I did. At that time, I worked for Raley's Grocery Store as a manager, and thank goodness for working for a company that at the drop of a dime, I could fly out to Washington and work 2 to 3 days and meet other members from all over the world that are in our organization to lobby this. I mean, we were walking the halls. We didn't, you know, it's a tough position. We don't get paid anything. You know, we pay to do this, and because it's so important and passionate to us, that's why we do it.
That's awesome.
It's absolutely unbelievable, Lori. And so you get through the battle. Finally, the legislation is passed, and now you're invited to go to Washington, D.C. to be in the Oval Office when the legislation becomes law. Tell us a little bit about what that felt like. I mean, not very many people like you and I get an opportunity to break bread with the president, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, I got the phone call from Congresswoman Staff at the White House called it July 26th at 6 o'clock at night in Sacramento. Well, it's 9 o'clock in Washington already. They got the word that Congresswoman could invite to bring me to the Oval Office. And I tell you, I don't even know what happened from the time that I got the call until I got to Washington. It was just such a, you know, so much excitement and so much shock. It was like so surreal. But the moment that we arrived at the White House, and I'll tell you that being there with the Congresswoman and also Congressman Poe, I tell you, this is a woman who in our community will fight for a constituent if she believes and will make a difference, because she truly is she's my hero and she's my mentor. So being in the Oval Office was, I would say it was very surreal. It was to have the president remind me that the organization that I represent, International Cruise Victims, that we were going to now help so many fellow Americans to know what we didn't know and hopefully help prevent it from happening, because, you know, 12 million people are going to go on a cruise this year.
Well, and that's kind of the point here, Lori, is that this law is going to protect and save a lot of people from going through perhaps either all or part of what you went through, because now for the first time in history, the cruise lines have to answer to U.S. authorities when a major incident occurs on a cruise ship. And in addition, they have to now provide some added safety measures that may help prevent, you know, yours was not an accident, but will help prevent accidents. So there's two directions that this legislation goes, and it really does make a difference. Lori, before we go, I wanted to just give you an opportunity. You mentioned a group, International Cruise Victims, and I know that that's an important group to you.
Yeah, International Cruise Victims, you can go to their website, internationalcruisevictims.org, and we're now in 20 countries. We actually just began legislation in Europe, tailing off following the legislation here in the United States. And I'll tell you that even though this bill has passed, our job's just beginning. The oversight that'll need to be done in efforts to help with the Congress and the FBI and everyone now that'll have their direction of what the cruise lines will have to be held accountable for, it'll take our organization in addition to make sure that that oversight is done.
InternationalCruiseVictims.org is where folks can go if they would like more information on your organization. Lori, I really have enjoyed speaking with you both before and during this interview. You really have proven that one person can really make a difference. And together, you and the Congresswoman did something that, because I'm in the industry, I know how difficult it was for you to get past the cruise lines and to make this happen. So I personally congratulate you on your perseverance and good luck in getting the enforcement side of this taken care of.
And Lori, in closing, you have the ear of all of the News Talk 1530 KFBK listeners. There may be somebody out there that may have a similar situation that has a battle to take on. Do you have some words of encouragement that you'd like to share with them?
What I'd like to share with anyone out there for anything that may come upon them, if you believe and know what you believe in to be true, don't give it up. Don't give it up. You have a voice.
Thank you very much, Lori, for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lori. You're a hero. And,
thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And by the way, you can go to travelguysradio.com and find out more about the International Cruise Victims Program and more on Lori Dishman and the some details about the bill as well.
Good for Lori and good for the Congresswoman. It really is. It's an amazing story. I really, the more we got into it, the more I really wanted to share it with our listeners. And I really thank Lori for being kind enough to come on the radio with us and talk about what turned out to be a four-year battle. But, you know, sometimes battles have a happy ending. All right. We after the break here, we are going to talk to you about why it is important sometimes, especially when you're talking with people on the telephone in the travel industry, why sometimes it's better to just back off, hang up, and call back.
Yeah, and that's coming from somebody who has been hung up on many times. So.
This is the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Kaufman along with Tom Romano. This is KFBK News Talk 1530.
It's the Travel Guys. We're News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano. With me is Mark Kaufman. And Mark, tell me, before the break, we were talking about this line that you keep saying, why it's better to hang up and call back.
Well, it's
please explain.
It's really become one of the basic rules of not only travel reservations, but I'm going to suggest to people that this applies to almost any situation where you're doing business on the telephone. As people who are on the other end of those calls can tell you, who are sitting in front of a computer screen, they oftentimes are looking at a screen that allows them to put comments that they might feel are pertinent to their conversation with you into your permanent customer record. So if you, for example, are, I'm a Marriott Rewards member, and I call Marriott Rewards, and I've got an issue with them about something, and I get agitated, and I start firing on the person on the phone, they can put something in my record. They can translate it any way they want. I have absolutely no idea what they've done because I can't see it.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
Well, I am kind of, yes. Right. In this particular instance, it involved a hotel contract that we had solicited and that came and was particularly onerous, and I called the hotel and said, you know, we have no interest in keeping the space, and it really wasn't even a huge argument, but it ended up in my personal file at Marriott Rewards, and I only happen to know this because someone left a screen unattended one day, and I happened to see this.
As a troublemaker.
Yeah, as a troublemaker. So what the point is here is that if you were to call, for example, United Airlines, and you wanted to get a fee waived, or you wanted a special ticketing, you had an issue with them, something that you needed to have done, and the person on the phone said to you, I'm sorry, we can't do that, or it would cost this much money, and you perhaps knew that that wasn't always the case, or that there might be some flexibility there, rather than sit there and try to – and this is another thing. Don't try to tell the person on the other end of the phone how to do their job, or that you know how to do their job better. That's a real hot button for people who are in that position, because then they're going to think, well, you know, who are you to be able to tell me, you know, and you're just an idiot, and all you're doing is taking up my, you know, I'm going to put something in here, I'll fix you, buddy. You know, it's kind of like you when you send the food back to the kitchen, you know, you don't scream at the waitress because of the server, because
it's not their fault.
Not always their fault. So in this case, you can put yourself at a serious disadvantage, and you never know it until the next time that you called that same airline, hotel, whatever, and entity, and you talk to them, and now that person is sitting there, and they're looking right at those comments.
Boy, I know others as well as myself are sitting here and thinking about, wow, that call that I made where I really beat that person up on the phone, I'm wondering what they might have put there.
Boy. And so really and truly, this is where the piece of advice comes, that you have to be the adult. Or let's say, for example, there's just a language barrier. As we all know, not all phone call centers are located in the United States.
Hi, can I speak to someone that actually can speak English?
And so if you get into one of those situations and you feel and you're getting frustrated and you're not being able to communicate with a person, it's entirely possible. For example, United Airlines has several call centers. And your call may be, depending on your status within the airline, you may, if you have frequent flyer status or you don't, your call may be routed this way, that way, or whatever. And so you get somebody who, again, even if it's just a community, a language barrier to some extent, or you just feel like the other person doesn't know what you're talking about, then the easiest thing to do is just excuse yourself from the call and say, you know what, thank you very much for that information. I really appreciate that, and I'll give you a call back when I'm ready to make that decision. And then just hang up the phone, wait 45 seconds, pick up the phone, and call again. Now, of course, there is the danger in some instances in a very small call center. You could get the same person.
Mm-hmm.
But that is really highly unlikely when you're dealing with some of these large corporate entities like we're speaking with, especially in the travel business.
And basically, you know, what you're looking for is perhaps different results from time to time. Is there a maximum number of hang up and callbacks where you say, you know what, I think I have taken this to the limit and I'm not going to get a different answer, or I'm pretty much done?
I would say that I have had situations where I've hung up and called back and then hung up again and called back. And if by the time I get to the third call, I'm not getting what I want, then I'm convinced I'm not going to get what I want. I need to take a different tack or a different approach, or obviously I'm not going to break through. And some of that depends on whether or not you're trying to get somebody to break the rules, or whether you're trying to get somebody to play by a rule that you know that exists and they're just not knowledgeable enough to be able to accept that. And instead of sitting there on the phone and arguing with them, and this would also work if you're, you know, a lot of these places have devices where you can chat with folks live on the computer. So once again, you get yourself into a situation. Now there's a written record of what you said. So you don't want to start threatening people and making the claim, you know, making threats and stuff like that. It's really better just keep your cool, hang up the telephone, go outside and swear for a minute, you know, and have a cigarette, chew some gum, whatever it is, calm down, pick up the phone and call back and just rephrase your question or rephrase what it is that you need. And really and truly, I will tell you that this could save you some tremendous aggravation down the road, particularly with people you do business with frequently.
Is there a particular area of kind of calls, whether it's maybe to cancel a reservation without being charged the cancellation fee, or you know, trying to get a lower rate, let's say, on an airline flight? Is there a particular area here that comes to mind, Mark, when you're talking about hanging up
callbacks?
No, there
really isn't, because in a lot of cases, Tom, now systems are so automated that the person on the other end sometimes doesn't have the option to do what you want them to do. You know, in the old days, if you were in the industry, you went out to the airport, there were seats in first class, and you knew the person behind the counter, they would upgrade you. Now they no longer have the ability to be able to do that. So I guess the point of this discussion is the power lays with the person on the other end of the line. And the more power you give them, the more power they will have over you and you are giving away in the future.
You're listening to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. There's your advice from Papa Mark. Hang up and call back. Be patient. Don't do what I've done. And be rude.
When we come back, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Travel Guys. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. You're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Polar Universe.
We are the Travel Guys. This is News Talk 1530 KFBK.
We are the technology-oriented Travel Guys.
You got it, yeah.
We were talking earlier in the program about the stand-up airline seat that might be coming to an airplane near you. Our web geek, Ryan Quinn, has got it already up on our website. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see this new seat. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going there after the program.
It looks exactly what I expected. It's kind of the vertical Tron-looking thing. I tell you, they're very cool.
Boy, let's hope that this is not This is really and truly not a trend. I know the guy at Ryanair wants to charge for the toilet, and he wants to stand people up on the plane and tie them to the wings and put them in the cargo hold or whatever. But I see a trend here developing that is not a positive one for sure.
What's coming up in 2 weeks on the Travel Guys,
Mark? In 2 weeks, we're going to have a travel roundtable right here in the studio. Road reporter Clayton Whitehead will join us. Rob on the Road from KVIE will be live in studio with you and I, and we're going to kick around some things. Maybe John Holiday from Travel Outfitters might join us, so we should have a pretty good program. A lot of fun in a couple of weeks.
All right. Well, I understand you have something special that you'd like to cover here in the program.
I would, just for a moment, just on a personal note, I would like to dedicate today's program to my father. He passed away yesterday in Lenexa, Kansas, at the age of 76. He had a brain tumor and was ill for about a year and a half, but put up one heck of a fight and did a heck of a battler and gave us some really wonderful quality time together. So thank you to all of the folks who have sent well wishes along the way during his fight and stuff like that. It was really very nice, and I very much appreciated it.
Thank you, Mark. Mark, it's been a lot of time taking trips, not just with his travel groups, but back to see his pop on a regular basis. And I know that he's very proud of all that you and your sister and family have done. This is the Travel Guys radio show. We're here every other week. We wish we were here every week, but Ed Outland, we got to give Ed Outland one hour a week.
One of these days soon, and absolutely, Ed Outland has a wonderful program. When we're not here, if you tune in to listen to the Travel Guys at noon and you hear Ed Outland, you're going to get a wonderful program, Aging with Dignity, and you will know that we were on last week and we'll be on next week, and you can catch our podcasts by going to travelguysradio.com. And within a couple days, you'll be able to catch this program with those great interviews with Congresswoman Matsui and Lori Dishman. Thank you very much to the Congresswoman's staff, including Nathan from her staff, who set up all the interviews and stuff. Thank you very much.
See you in 2 weeks.